This is an interview with Mary Lillian Tisdale. The interview takes place at her residence in Park City, Kentucky, and the interviewer is Betsy Brinson. Ms. Tisdale, just so we get a voice level, would you give me your complete name, please?
My name is Mary Lillian Tisdale.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Ms. Tisdale, for agreeing to talk with me today.
Yes.
I know Secretary Helm met you and thought that you had some very interesting stories to share and asked me to come bring
sure.
my tape recorder and see what you could tell us here.
Yes.
Let me start, if I would, please. Tell me where and when you were born.
I was born December the 16th, 1919.
And where were you born?
Here in Barron County.
Barron County?
Yes, ma'am.
B-A-R-R-E-N?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So you were born in 1919. That makes you how old?
80.
80 years old.
Yes, okay. ma'am.
And have you spent most of your life here in Barron
County?
Yes,
ma'am.
Okay. Tell me, please, what you know about your ancestors, your parents, your grandparents, how far back you might know.
Well, my father and mother lived, well, not too old, but I had a great-grandmother live to be 103.
Mm-hmm. And what was
her
name?
She was a slave, Lizzie Edwards.
Lizzie Edwards. And can you spell Lizzie for me?
E-L-L-I-Z-E.
Okay. And where was she a slave?
Here.
In
Park City.
Here
in Barron County. Yes, ma'am.
Did you ever know her?
Oh, yes. She lived with us for a while.
Okay.
She was blind.
Okay.
And my mother and father, after my grandmother and father died, my mother and father kept her.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How old was she when she was freed from slavery?
Well, I do not know that. Mm-mm.
Was she a little girl or?
No, she was grown.
I
know she was grown because when she passed, she was 103.
Okay, and mm-hmm. that would have been about when did she pass?
Yes.
How many years ago, approximately, did she pass?
Been several years ago.
Because
I was a young girl.
You okay?
Yes.
Okay. Did she ever tell you any stories about slavery?
Well, she just mostly talked about these white people that she lived with, and they took care of her on down through generation to generation. After so long a time, well, she decided she wanted to stay with my granddaddy and mother. Then she came and stayed with them, and they passed, and then my mother taken her. Then on my mother's side, my father married a young woman, and we was living in his house taking care of him. So we moved here, with a house over there, they tore down. And we lived here. And this woman he married was really rather young for him. And they just didn't take care of her like they should. Because she had children and they just neglected her. Because she was been blind ever since I knew her. And we put her at the breakfast table and tell her that we was fixing to eat. And she had a aluminum cup for us to put her coffee in, and we'd start putting it in there, and she'd holler, whoa. She didn't want but just a mouth for a drink, I guess you'd call it, at a time. And then when somebody would come to see her, they would bring her apples, and we'd have to get her a knife and let her scrape that apple and eat it. And then if they come back, she told them she hadn't seen the apple.
Mm.
And we just had to correct her that. Because
mm-hmm.
Mom and Dad didn't allow us to mistreat her at all. Because we was all crazy about her. Because she wore old slavery clothes.
Mm-hmm.
All of that got destroyed.
What Can you describe what were slavery clothes like?
Well, they was a lot of ruffles and long, and the blouses was a lot of ruffles and buttons. And then she had those shoes with the, like some of them's coming out now. There was buttons and buckles on them.
Did she ever talk about the people, the family who owned her? Do you know their names?
Once in a while she would talk about them, but she didn't really tell us no names.
Did she ever talk about what kind of work that she had to do while she was a slave?
Well, the most that she done while she was a slave was housework, because I think she lost the eyesight early. She done housework.
Did she ever learn to read or write?
No. No, she couldn't read neither write.
Do you know anything about any other of your ancestors?
Well, now that was the oldest one that was in our family that, you know, was in that shape. The rest of my family was in pretty good shape. They farmed, my father and mother farmed, and mama done day work. My granddaddy on my daddy's side, he had a big farm here in Park City, and because my other granddaddy had a farm up in back of me here. I-65's got it now.
What kinds of crops did they farm?
Tobacco and corn, garden, and both of them had an orchard with little everything in it.
All kinds like of trees.
Apples and pears and grapes, damsons. And they had, of course, then they had horses and cows, their own milk, butter.
Any pigs?
Yes, oh yes, they raised pigs too.
When you were growing up, did you ever have to work out, help out on this farm?
Oh yes, I worked all the time. I've been working before I got nine, and after I got 9 years old, I worked for some white people here in town, walked almost 2.5 miles every day for a quarter.
And you were 9 years old when you
when I
that?
Went to work there. And my sister, that's my sister younger, she went with me. We both worked for these people, dressed chicken, gather corn, sucker tobacco, and all kinds of work like that.
So you did primarily farm work?
Yes.
There too.
I didn't get any education because my father got sick. I got no further than the fourth grade, but my sister there, she left from here with the Reverend Dr. Rousey and his wife, went to Omaha, Nebraska, and she finished her schooling, and then she moved to Phoenix, Arizona, got married, and went to teaching for the Indians until somebody come in there and took it over cheaper. So then she just run from different states back and forth to conventions and associations and come here and stay a while, like that.
Was she your older or your younger?
No, I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest.
I'm the oldest. She was the third. I have a brother who was next to me. He and I, neither one got no education because he's deceased. Excuse me. And then I have another brother now. He's in Virginia.
Is your sister still living?
No.
Okay.
No.
What was her name?
Maddie Green.
Maddie Green.
Yeah. No, my sister's been dead several years. Because my daughter, I have a daughter lives down here, between him and Bowling Green, she and her husband, and I went there by plane for the funeral burial in Phoenix, Arizona, because her husband died first, and they buried both of them there.
You said that she started school here.
Yes.
And then moved with the Reverend.
Dr. Rousey name, yeah, she went to school here over, well, our school used to be out jumping on that road. And then when she got out of school there, she went up at Horse Cave.
Okay, I want to have you tell me what you can about the school over here.
Well, this school over here was just a wooden schoolhouse, and we had a cistern outside of it. And we had to go up a bank to go get into the school. And every day we had to get out the railroad because the little train went from Park City to Mammoth Cave. They tore all that down now. That part of the train's out there at Mammoth Cave. Mm-hmm. And, we had several different teachers.
Let me stop you just a minute. We were talking about the school over here. How long was there a teacher there?
Yes, we had teachers there until they moved the school over here, up here in the back of where you turned around at our church. Mm-hmm. That back room there was our schoolhouse. My daddy sold that to them for schoolhouse, mm-hmm. and they moved over here.
Mm-hmm. Now, the first school over here, how long did it operate during the
year?
Well,
it operated until just in the head of I-65. See, I-65 condemned just about everything back out there.
And that was about when? When did I-65 go through here?
It's been a long time when they went through here. Been a long time.
Maybe the 50s, 60s?
Yeah, somewhere back in there. Mm-hmm.
But this little school, how many students would go there at any one time?
Well, all the children here in Park City, and then we had a few come from Rocky Hill here to school by bus. Mm-hmm. Yeah, school bus. And of course we didn't have no running water in our school. We just had a bucket of water in there, but the teachers was well equipped. You wash your hands. And when we got ready to start off school, everybody said the Bible verse. Mm-hmm. And them days, well, we all had a glass with our name on it to drink water out of. So everybody carried lunch in a sack or bucket or whatever. And that's where you eat. You didn't go to no resting.
Mm-hmm. And you were about how old then?
Well, I guess I was about, five or six. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because some of the children, well, we lived on this farm where I was working at. And we walked through this man's field and came down and hit the railroad, and these other children would meet us there. And we'd all walk to school. We never had no bus. Mm-hmm. We walked every day. Of course, my daddy didn't buy a car till later on. He bought a Model T Ford, and then he got sick. Well, he wasn't able to drive. He was in the bed all the time. What time he wasn't in the bed at home, they put him in the hospital. Mm-hmm. He had several operations. Mm-hmm. Seven.
What do you remember about the teacher at this school?
Oh, we had a lovely teacher. Yeah, we had a lovely teacher there.
You remember her name? I know that's been a long time.
Betty Boards was one of our teachers. And then we had another teacher named, Estelle Lasky.
Okay. Did you have any books to use?
Yes. Yeah, we had books and penny pencils, mm-hmm. and tablets. Mm-hmm. Just a brown sheet tablet. That's what the most of us had.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so did you go to school there until you started to work on the farm?
Yes. Yeah, I went to school. That's almost for the I got was at school over there. Okay. And on this side of the school, we had a church there. It was a Methodist church, and old man that owned the church didn't live too far. And we couldn't go over there on that church ground because he'd holler at us. And he'd say if we didn't get off of there, he would tell our parents on us, and we'd get a whooping. back there then. Yeah.
Now, when you went to school over here, did the school have a name?
I don't remember no name.
Okay.
Just Barron County School, I know.
Barron County School, okay.
Mm-hmm.
How much of the year did school last?
Well, they didn't go as long as they do here now. But they went, I don't know how many months it was. It must have been a good while ago.
Was it 3 or 4 months a year?
Something
was it more
like
than that?
It might have been a little more than that. Yeah.
Okay.
And they didn't dock nobody for not being there every day like they do now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you wasn't there, you just wasn't there.
And this would have been in the 1920s for you?
Yeah, I'm satisfied, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because the teachers said they get paid whether you come or not, but now it's different.
Mm-hmm.
They try to see the old children come to school.
Mm-hmm. I looked up in the census information to see how many people actually live today in Cave City. And what I saw was about 560 people. Does that sound about right to you in terms
of... Well, yes, I guess it does sound about right. Mm-hmm.
Have there been more people here?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we've had more people live here. They've died out, moved out. A lot of young folks left here and went to the cities and went to work.
Okay.
You know, some of them didn't finish their schooling, but went anyhow.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
How many black people live here today, approximately, of those 560 people? How many of those would you think are...
I don't really know how many we would have here now. Mm-hmm. Well, there's still quite a few of us here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You belong to a church?
Oh, yeah, I go to this church right back here.
It's a nice-looking church.
Thank you. Yeah, I have a lovely pastor. My pastor is the reason I'm sitting in this new home right now. He visited all of us, and he'd seen we was living on the ground. Nothing that we needed. Because I had done put a bathroom on that old house over there, but it still wasn't warm. I tried to heat it with gas, and it got high on my check. So I had to take it out and put me a wood stove in there, and well, that was work. My front porch, it was long like this one I have now. It stayed full of wood, chips, and kindling all the season until it warmed up.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he got busy and went up to Frankfort and got enough money to build these new homes.
Mm-hmm. How many of these new homes?
Let me see, there's one. Seven.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got two trailers and the rest of them's homes.
Okay. Tell me the name of your church, please.
Zion Hill Baptist Church.
Okay. And about how many people go to church there?
Oh, we have a nice crowd. Some Sundays we have better crowds than others, because some just don't come but about once a month.
Mm-hmm.
I go every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I've got my son now, since he had this accident, he goes. Mm-hmm. We go to prayer meeting tonight, because I don't go tonight. They have Bible study tonight for the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
But Wednesday night, we will go up there.
Mm-hmm.
And our pastor lives in Louisville, and we can call him and tell him we'd be rushed to a hospital or anything, and he's here.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny on the spot.
Mm-hmm. Now, when the most people come to church, how many people is that approximately? Is that like 20 people?
No, we have more than that. Yeah, we had about 75 people yesterday, or maybe a little better.
Okay.
Outside church is large.
Okay.
And inside.
And it's an all-black church.
Yes. Well, you have some white members. Yeah. Well, so he'll preach to anybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's nice to everybody.
Ms. Tisdale, can you recall for me at what point do you remember that you realized you were growing up in a segregated society in terms of black and white?
Well, you know, when I was coming up, I didn't really pay it no mind because we got along all right. The white children and us got along all right. We just had trouble with one bunch of children. One called us out of a name, and we broke that up ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that was it.
Mm-hmm. They called you a name?
Mm-hmm. What? Told quite a few of us. You know, we was getting out of school, and they was getting out over here, passing us around the road. And they would call us out of our name.
What do you mean, call us out of?
They would call us Negroes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how did you handle that?
Well, we just shoved them in these jail, whatever they call them, kid guards or something, some things they had on that railroad there.
Mm-hmm.
They mocked them up.
Mm-hmm.
Then they got to treating us right.
Mm-hmm. And that was when you were going to school?
School,
year?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I had a older girlfriend going to school as I was going, and she didn't let nobody run over us. Because
mm-hmm.
we'd all be walking, of course, going out, coming back.
So you weren't really aware of segregation?
No,
when
no.
you were little?
No.
When you got older?
No, I didn't pay it no mind then because I worked for the richest people in Park City,
mm-hmm.
all over the house. And one bunch I worked for had two daughters, and they were spoiled, and they couldn't do too much with them, so I got them on the right track.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And because I worked at the motel 16 years down here in town, Parkland.
Parkland?
And then when I get off from down there, I would go to her house if she needed me. If she didn't, I'd come home and directly I'd look and hear she'd come after me and I'd go back. And we'd either do some work in the house or go to Bowling Green or Louisville shopping. And if she took the girls, well, she had to help me with her to help her.
Mm-hmm.
So they wouldn't act up.
What was his family's name?
Mr. and Mrs. Fred Perdue.
Fred
Perdue.
How do you say Perdue?
Perdue.
Like
P-A-R-D-O-N.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how did they come to be so rich?
He run a grocery, and his wife's mother and father had plenty of money, and they both died, and then that made him... Well, he owned three buildings up at Red Light, and also he owned two houses,
mm-hmm.
in the back of the store. And he had a grocery there. Anybody could buy groceries there because he ordered big quantities, and he sold them, you know, where you could buy them. Here now, we don't have anywhere to buy nothing but down there at Shell's. They ain't half the time, ain't got nothing you want.
Mm-hmm.
And too high, too.
So how do you get groceries today?
I go to Cave City, Kentucky.
Okay.
And get my groceries.
Okay. So you worked for them and you worked for the motel, but at what point in your life do you think that you became aware that as a black person, you didn't have the opportunities that white people did?
Well, the first thing I became aware of, because I didn't have no education, see, and I couldn't get no good job because I went away from here and stayed a while. But I got a job at the 5 and 10 cent store.
Where did you go?
In Louisville.
In Louisville.
And I worked at the Blue Board.
The Blue Board Cafe?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I worked there. Started out on a dish machine, and I told my boss, I says, I want a better job than this. I said, I wash dishes at home. And he laughed, and then he come to me and asked me would I like to work in the pastry. I told him, yeah, that sounds better.
Mm-hmm.
So my girlfriend, she stayed in the silverware and washing dishes, and I went in the pastry shop and stayed there until I left Louisville.
Mm-hmm. How long did you work for Blue Boy?
Oh, I worked there a long time. How long it was, I worked there a long time. I worked long enough to get a vacation. I come down here and stayed with Mom and Dad, run around, and then I got married and I moved to Dayton, Ohio.
Do you remember about how old you were when you started to work at the Five and Dime?
Well, I was about 17.
17,
mm-hmm,
okay.
Because I got married when I was 19.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And you stayed there until you were about how old?
Well, I guess I stayed there till I was 19, because I got married at 19 and I left Louisville and went to, my husband, he worked for CITS, and they transferred him from Louisville to Dayton.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to ask you some questions about the Five and Dime. What did you do in the Five and Dime?
I made the, I started that, I told you, on the dish machine.
Okay.
And then I went in the pastry shop.
But now, maybe I don't understand this. Is the Blue Boar the name of the Five and Dime?
Oh, no. The Blue Boar is a
restaurant.
Big, nice restaurant.
Okay.
Yeah, I made salads in Blue Boar.
Okay.
Yeah, all kinds of salads.
And you would have been there about 1937?
Like that, okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And at that point, they would not have served black customers.
Oh, yes.
They did?
Yeah, they did.
How did they do that at
the they just had a... They didn't have a restroom. At the Blue Board, they had a restroom because that was school children. Mm-hmm. And they was all together. Mm-hmm. They didn't separate them. No. And some of the boys and girls went to school, they class was over, they come and work. Mm-hmm. So we had to really teach them because they didn't know nothing to do.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. But they would serve both black and
white?
Yes,
out there in the cafeteria.
And they could sit down together? And
sit down and eat and lay and talk. And I'd be out there packing salads out, and they'd be waving at me.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Did that change somewhere? Because I really thought that, I know by the 60s, I don't think the Blue Boar was serving black people the same way.
The Blue Boar I worked at, all the cooks in that Blue Boar was black. Mm-hmm. And the pastry lady was black. And they had a second pastry lady, she was white. Mm-hmm. And they just treated all of us the same. Mm-hmm.
Now, where was that located?
In Louisville. On Walnut Street downtown.
Walnut Street, okay.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, I'll take it back. It was located on Chestnut, Fourth Street.
Okay.
Yeah, between Chestnut and Broadway.
Okay.
That's where I worked there.
Okay.
It's not there no more.
No. Did you move to Dayton with your husband?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I worked at a cleaner there. I didn't stay there too long because he got up and got to act the fool and I come on way for him. Yeah.
He started acting like a fool, is that what you said?
Yes, ma'am.
I didn't hear the rest of that, though.
Yes, ma'am. That's okay. What I said.
Okay. And then did you move back here?
I moved back to Louisville. Mm-hmm. Stayed there a while, and then I moved on back down here. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you've been back here about how many years?
Well, then? I went back from here because I got me another job in Louisville, and I went back up there and stayed up there until my mother and father got sick, and I had to come home and stay with my mother, and then I had to go back and come back. Stayed with my father. So finally I was working in Louisville at a cleaner and I got sick myself and I seen I wasn't able to work, so I put in for my Social Security. I done got old enough and start drawing hit, and I just kept on getting sick. So I have a daughter lives in Louisville and I told her, I says, well, I'm
Village West?
Village West, yes.
In Louisville?
In Louisville. Okay.
And that would have been about what year, do you remember? Mm-hmm. Or how old you were?
Well, I was old, past 62, see, because okay. That's when I retired.
Okay.
It was in the meantime, during that, before I retired, I had all my rest of teeth I had in my mouth pulled at 13th Broadway. And I stayed up there and worked long enough to pay for my teeth. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Were you living and working in Louisville in the 60s when some of the sit-ins and the demonstrations started downtown? Do you remember those at all? When blacks tried to open up restaurants
I was there. Mm-hmm.
What do you remember about that?
I remember this one black man, he opened up a nice restaurant. Or a beer tapping, I guess what you'd call it.
Oh, what was that?
Well, you sell beer and whiskey. Top Hat. The name
like
of it was
store,
Top Hat.
A liquor store?
No, it was a big, nice place where you go in and sit down in boots and you could order beer and shots of whiskey at 13th and Walnut. And this man had quite a bit of money, and out in the front of his building he had marble on the sidewalk. And he and his wife was in good shape. And of course they bought the best car they had, and what kind it was, some kind of foxy car. And he winded up, somebody killed him. And his wife, she tried to run it for a while, and her mother got sick. So she had let it go, because finally he had left anyhow, because they tore down all that stuff and build all these projects and different things like that up there.
So Louisville from here is about, what, 100?
98 miles.
98 miles.
I see. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you came back and forth a lot. How did you travel?
By train. We had trains stopping here then. I went over to Ellen Depot and caught me a train. Mm-hmm. Come down here and went back. That night, caught it up here in town at our depot at 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did the train have any rules that said, as a black person, you had to sit in special places?
Not really, no. Because my uncle was a porter on the train. Most of the times he was on there. He run from coast to coast. And in the beginning that they had a coach on there just for black only, and then one for the white. But after they cut down, well, they just had a coach on there for everybody. Because they had baggage mail cars on there.
And could you sit wherever you wanted in that single coach?
Yes, I could, yeah.
Have you ever voted?
Oh yes, I vote every year.
Okay. Has that ever been a problem for black people in this area to be able to register to vote?
Not as I know of. Only problem it is they won't register so they can vote.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you vote for a particular party?
Well, I try to vote for somebody that I think is going to help us. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you vote for the person. You don't vote whether the person is Republican or Democrat.
Yeah. I vote for one of them. I have to vote one. Democrat, I believe I vote Democrat, I believe.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did your parents vote?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, everybody voted around here back them days because they had a man hired to come and take you up there. And everybody was registered and everybody voted.
Mm-hmm. So he came and provided transportation to the polls.
Yes.
Was there ever any attempt to buy your vote, to get you to vote a special way?
When I was, you know, up there, I never did see nobody. Some of the town people that was running would ask you to vote for them.
But nobody ever did, say, offered the men mostly some whiskey to vote a certain way? Or
Never
offered to give you anything?
No.
Okay.
No. See, it's dry here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Closest place you can get a drink here is Bowling Green.
Okay. Bowling Green is about how far?
25 miles from here.
And could you take the train there too when you...
If you wanted to go, yeah, you could go to Bowling Green on the train.
Okay.
Because you know? When you got off down there to go into shop, you had to get a cab to take you in. Of course, you was too far from the stores. Mm-hmm. But the liquor stores were so close there to the station.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'd like to ask you some questions, if I may, about Mammoth Cave, since that's such a big attraction.
Oh yes,
here in the area.
Wonderful place out there, Mammoth Cave. I've been out there several times. I have quite a few friends work out there, white and black, and they just have a good time because they had some slaves out there too.
Well, I want you to tell me what you know about that.
Yeah, and those slaves, well, they bought those slaves out after they got the cave started, like, they bought them all out, and they all had to move from out there, because some of them moved here. Mm-hmm. Of course, they gone now, they're deceased.
Do you know what kind of work they did as slaves out there?
Well, most of them was cooks and... guards take you in a cave and walk around over the land and check to see if there's nobody doing anything they wasn't supposed to do. Because, it's Mammoth Cave has a lot of deers.
Deer?
Yeah, a lot of rattlesnakes, all kinds of snakes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I used to work out there, and this white guy worked for me and his wife. They kept me out there till dark, and he brought me home. And I seen a snake going across the road, and I says, "What you run over that thing, Joe?" He said, "I can't." See, the prints of that snake get on my tie, and they arrest me. I said, "Oh." I said, "Well, I don't care nothing about being back out in here after night." Next door to them, this woman had a deer out there. She was feeding that deer out of her hand.
Why would they arrest him if he had snakes?
Because they don't want him killed at the park.
I
no, they want him all to stay alive. They got a lot of animals out there.
Are there any stories here that you've heard that the slaves did any sort of mining down underneath the cave?
Well, they might have at the Mammoth Cave because they had to dig it out. In the beginning, yeah, might have. I don't really know.
Did you ever hear of a slave named Stephen Bishop?
No.
Okay. So Mammoth Cave was actually a big tourist attraction.
Oh yes, yeah. Mammoth Cave. When I was working at the Parkland Motel, we had a lot of people stay there and go to Mammoth Cave. And then some of them would go to Diamond Cavern, out here, it's a cave too. Mm-hmm. And they would split up. Yeah. Because Dr. Rousey was running Diamond Cavern then.
Now, this is your minister?
No, this is the man that my sister left me here with.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So after he died, well, they started off trying to run it, and they. Sister got killed, his daughter rather, got killed by an airplane crash. So we had just left her brother and mother and her daughter. So they finally sold out.
Now when you were working at the Parkland Motel, how did the tourists get back and forth from the motel to the cave?
most of them had cars, and them that was on the bus, he brought them there and unloaded them. And then when they got ready to go to the cave, he loaded them back up and took them out of there. And he stayed down at the motel, too.
And that's about 8 miles from the motel out to...
Yes, out to Mammoth Cave. Okay.
And at one point, I think much earlier, back in the 1900s, was there like a stagecoach that went back and forth?
Yes, yeah, well, that was that little train.
A train?
That little train, okay. Yeah. Okay. That was that train.
And
yeah, because we rode it over there. Yeah, so, well, ain't nothing left now but the engine and one court sitting over at Mammoth Cave is falling down. Mm-hmm. And they done took up all the track over from town, plumb out Mammoth Cave.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. How do people today in Park City make their living?
Well, most of them works different places out of town. And because my son worked for I-65 at the rest stop, then he found a better job over at Glasgow making oil paints for a car. Mm-hmm. And he worked 14 hours and had an accident, tore his car up, hurt him and another guy. So if he ever gets able, he'll go back there to work.
And this is your only child?
No, I have two daughters.
That's right. You said you had daughters, do they both live in Louisville?
No, I have one lives in Louisville, and she works at Sam Miles up there. It's a big tuxedo place. Uh-huh. And then this one here, she works at a factory down here on the highway between her home and Bowling Green. Mm-hmm.
Have your children been able to get further in their education than you were?
Oh yes, yeah. One of my daughters graduated. And my son up here graduated. My other daughter got to the 10th grade.
Mm-hmm. Did they go to school here or?
Yeah, they went to school here. Yeah, they went to school here. Mm-hmm.
Were you here when the schools integrated?
Yes.
What was that like?
Well, it was. They got along all right. Okay. Yeah, of course, see, they all had to ride a bus. Went to school over here so long. Then they took them to Glasgow. Mm-hmm. My son graduated, and my daughter did too at Glasgow. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How far is Glasgow from
here? It's 10 miles from here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And what happened to the black school here?
Oh, they just closed it.
Did they tear the building down eventually?
Or? Well, they did over yonder, but up here, well, they didn't tie that down. See, after I-65, our church was over there, too, on land where I-65 went through. So we had to bring our church over here and hook it on to the school. Mm-hmm. Mr. Sam Crump runs this warehouse up here. He had our work done up here for us. Because he's deceased now, both of them. Just a daughter living now, granddaughter.
Are there other stories that you shared with Secretary Helm that you...
Yes, I did say that we do need a nice restroom here. Mm-hmm. I don't know who it was, but we had one person knocked us out of getting a Cracker Barrel. Mm-hmm. Cracker Barrel wanted to stop here. Because they stretched the distance between them. They at Bowling Green, and they wanted to stop here. And then they at Elizabethtown. But KUC, they got them. And they have the business, And I don't know who it was that was against it. Because that's the way with these homes. They're all up in town making like that the mayor up there got us these homes. The mayor didn't have nothing to do with these homes, not one thing. But look, because my pastor got the money and then they got these contractors. They bid it on these to build these houses and they got it. Had some real nice men here and some boys. Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised how these boys could cut lumber and these men was up on top of this house, because I watched them.
Well, this is a very nice house.
Oh, yeah.
How How long did it take them to build it?
It didn't take them too long, because see, the most of the lumber, they laid it out there in my yard and it was already cut. Mm-hmm. Some tuberfores and different things like that, them boys had to cut it. Mm-hmm. And they had three carpenters and these two boys, and they was good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had to raise their salary after they started working here on, this house was the first one built. They had to raise them boys' salary because they were so good.
And how long have you been living in this house?
Oh, I've been here over a year.
Oh, so mm-hmm. it's still very new to you.
Yeah, I've been here over a year.
And you have how many rooms here?
I have two bedrooms and complete bath upstairs, mm-hmm. bedroom and bath back there, mm-hmm. this and my utility room there.
And just you and your son live here?
Well, I'm just by myself. He's supposed to have been moving mm-hmm. somewhere, and if he got hurt, well, I had to take him in because right. he didn't have nothing to do nothing with.
Right.
So I'm trying to get a medical card on him now because I've got to have some help. Mm-hmm. And they won't let me have food stamps. Can't have 2 cents in the bank, but they don't want to take your money.
But is your only income your Social Security?
So, it's SSI.
And you're not eligible for food stamps?
No, because I was getting them and I had to pay back $300 and some. Now, when I got this house, I went up there to the bank and borrowed some money to get me some, my wash and dry.
Mm-hmm.
I got a new bedroom suit in there. Curtains, blinds and things all here.
Mm-hmm.
And they claims I had too much money in the bank, and don't you know they took it away from me? Every month when I get my check, they done took my money out of
the government.
SSI.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they should give me my money back because I was 80 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But they wouldn't go along, we took it.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't went over there to see about no more food stamps after all of that happened. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't know whether he could get them or not if he'd go over there.
Do you ever think that you maybe should have stayed in Louisville? Or are you glad
no,
that you came back here?
No, because the rent's too high in Louisville and there's too much going on.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm glad I came on back home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they never did think I would come back and stay, but I fooled them. Because
mm-hmm.
now why you want to stay up there and pay somebody $200 for an old broke-down wrecked-nest house? Come back here to your own.
Mm-hmm.
So my daddy was nice enough to make the home to me. And I enjoy it because I don't have nobody close to me keeping up a whole lot of racket. And I go to bed, I can go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Up there, well, you was wondering what's going on because somebody was hollering and blowing horns, playing music all night long.
And you have your church close by.
Oh, yes, and love my church up here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have any grandchildren?
Oh, yes, I got six. I'm expecting one. This week and next week, one.
Mm-hmm.
I got six right now.
But they all live in Louisville?
Well, my daughter here has three daughters. One of them lives in right down there beside of her. Mm-hmm. The other one just moved to Nashville on account of her job. The other one's in the Navy.
Oh, so they're grown.
Oh, yeah, they're grown. Mm-hmm. And then my daughter in Louisville, she's got two sons. They are grown. They just got married this year. Now I got to go to both of their weddings. And my youngest grandson up there, he's in jail up there.
Mm-hmm.
And her daughter, she's expecting a baby at any time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How about your friends here?
I have a lot of friends here.
Mm-hmm.
We're different places all around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends.
Well, you're very fortunate.
Yeah. We have a lady, a colored lady, just bought a house here in town across the railroad up there. And, of course, I've been knowing her for years. And so I talked to her last night. She promised me she'd be at church. She'd been sick. So she didn't make it to church, so I thought I'd better call and check on her. Because I attend the missionaries at different places. And we have it here, too. It's next month, second Sunday night, we will have our missionary anniversary up here at church. That Sunday after we have morning service, we'll go to, I don't know where we're going, somewhere, in our church van and eat dinner. Mm-hmm. Then we'll come back and go up here to our church in White, have our missionary program. Mm-hmm. We're having two sets of singers up there. Mm-hmm. I'm the president of the missionary. Been it quite a bit for a long time, and then they had another lady they made president, and she got married, my cousin. So now I done stepped back up head again.
Do you have special duties as the president? Things that you have to do?
Well, yes, I have to open up with a song, prayer, and read out of the Bible. And then I have my minute read. And then I have to get a motion and second if they don't see nothing wrong with the minute, you know, so be approved. And then we have old business. Like if somebody wants something from old business, don't have no old business, well, we start out with the new.
Mm-hmm. And how often do you meet?
Once a month, every second Sunday.
Okay.
And then we all give a donation every second Sunday, $2. Mm-hmm. And we put that in treasury in case we want to do something. Mm-hmm. We have money.
And what kinds of things would you maybe do with that money?
Well, now our pastor has put it all together because you get more interest up here to the bank. But anyhow, when we need it, like we want to donate another church missionaries some money. Some of the missionaries here in our community get sick, well, we give them money. Mm-hmm. Flowers, card. Mm-hmm. We see that everybody gets card. Mm-hmm. Like that. Mm-hmm. Just do whatever we think we need to do mm-hmm. with it.
Ms. Tisdale, did you ever belong to the NAACP?
No. I attended the senior citizens at Bowling Green. I used to go to KC at senior citizens. I used to go down there, but I never did join. Mm-hmm. Because the lady would be there all the time talking about it. But I never did join.
Did you ever go to any of their meetings? Or?
No.
No.
Mm-mm. Because I didn't have any way to get there. See, we went from the center on their van, but the girl that drives the van just drives it for the so many hours every day.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you do for fun?
Sit here and sew and sing and piece quilts.
Mm-hmm. Make quilts?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Tops. Uh-huh. I got gobs of quilt tops. And look at TV, and I got a book on my table, spell words. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. power. Sometimes, well, now tomorrow I'm going to Evansville, Indiana. My son and I, a whole bunch of us going from K-City, senior citizens, because mm-hmm. he's not no senior citizen, but he can go because he's 21.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to do in
That's gambling there.
Oh.
Yeah, we're going down there.
Oh, have you ever done that before?
Oh, yeah, I've been every time they go.
And how often do they go?
We go once a month.
And are you have what kind of a winner are you?
I haven't been doing too much until the last month. I had good luck. Carried my son with me. Had good luck. Mm-hmm. I've just been going for the sport of it. And I just take so much money to spend, mm-hmm. and I spend it. If I win, I win. If I don't, I don't.
What do you play? Do you play the
machines? I play 25-cent machines the other time. Uh-huh. Tomorrow I'm going to play 50-cent machines.
Uh-huh. What's the most you've ever won?
Well, this time, last month, I won $1,038.
You did? Wow.
Yep. I didn't dream of it, but I did. I told my... And also, we... write our name on a paper dollar on the bus and put it in a big grocery sack, and this girl shakes it up, and then whoever don't put a dollar in, she lets them draw it out, mm-hmm. and I got that. $51. I brought you a penny that back on with me. Mm-hmm. So I still got my dollar right now to put back in the sack with my name already on it.
Use the same one if it's good.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense.
So. I've won on that bus 3 times because all of them knows me on there, and they said, well, you're going to start staying in Park City. And I just laughed off.
They say if you stay home, then you can't win all
that's
the time.
That's exactly right. That's what you tell me. They want me to stay here.
Have you ever traveled outside of Kentucky or Indiana or Ohio at
Oh,
all?
Yes. Yeah, I've been, I love, been, in Dayton, Ohio, and I've been to Phoenix, Arizona. I've been to Nashville, Tennessee.
What took you to Phoenix, Arizona?
My sister lived there.
Oh, cool.
I went there to her funeral. Mm-hmm. Well, I went before she got sick, stayed 2 weeks with her. And then I went back when she passed, and I stayed a month there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I had several uncles live in Dayton, Ohio, mm-hmm. my daddy's brothers. And they all deceased. And nobody left now but my auntie and I. Mm-hmm. And she's 93.
And where does she live?
Cave City.
Okay. But mm-hmm. you come out of a big family.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I can see it was 6 of us. Mm-hmm. 4 children and my mother and father.
Okay.
Yeah, and the Reverend Smizer, our pastor, come over yesterday about when we come up. Every Sunday morning, everybody hit the floor, got ready, eat the breakfast, got ready. Everybody got in line and went to church. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we done. Mm-hmm. We didn't stay up all night, because if we could stay up all night, we didn't get back in, because mm-hmm. my daddy was very strict. Mm-hmm. So I can remember the first time we went to a show, my cousin carried us, and we were so happy to get on a Greyhound bus up here in town, we stood up till we got to Cave City. That's where the theater was at. Stood up looking at that bus.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
When you were a little girl, Miss Tisdale, were there any Ku Klux Klan members or white citizen councils, or were there white people here that acted out against blacks?
If they did, I didn't know anything about it, because I used to sit up there right at the red light at Square Deals Lumber Company in that yard there with Jane Otterberg. She and I sat out on a quill plate. Mm-hmm. My auntie worked up there.
You would have been... You were a little girl then?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was a little girl then. My auntie worked there. Yeah. We didn't have too much trouble with the white children unless it was a poor grade like us. They sometimes get off the rocker.
What do you mean by that? Get off their rocker.
Talking about your color and all of that stuff, and I told them I can go just as far as they can with a dollar. Mm-hmm. Okay. All you got to do is have it.
Okay. Okay, well, I think I've asked about everything I know to ask. Is there anything else you'd like to add to this that I haven't thought to ask you?
Well, nothing other than we would show appreciate if they put a rest in you. Because we need a rest in bed, because here are people over here in town trying to fix that old building up over yonder, and I don't see a thing that would be worth. Because mm-hmm. I wouldn't give a nickel to walk over and look at them rock. Mm-hmm. There's no restroom in it, no windows, no doors. They didn't get the money that went up there after. Mm-hmm. But they didn't get nothing. And I don't feel like they're going to get none.
Mm-mm. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're entirely welcome.